It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
To another edition of another Dolphins podcast, and we have a very, very special midweek episode for you. And I bet a lot of listeners at home are wondering, what makes this episode so special? Well, let me tell you, it's because I'm being joined by my great co-host, Joshua Houts. Josh, what's up, dude?
How you doing, man? Sky's blue today, isn't it? I mean, it's a great day to be able to talk about the Dolphins being a soft football team and things like that. How have you been, man?
I've been good. Woke up today when it was 20 degrees, so that sucked quite a bit. Nobody who listens to this podcast can relate because most of the people live down in Miami, down in Florida. So just know, every morning when you wake up, don't take it for granted because it is absolutely brutal once it starts to get cold up here in the Northeast. Josh, you mentioned it right then and there. Deshaun Elliott, former Miami Dolphins safety, stole headlines on Wednesday when he appeared on the Punchline podcast. Now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Deshaun Elliott was kind of discussing what it would be like going to face his former team, the Baltimore Ravens, now as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Josh, this is what he had to say. Because last year, I played for a team that was soft as F-bomb. There were some guys who were tough, but the majority of the team, there was not mentally tough individuals. So to be on a team with a full of mentally tough guys, this is going to be fun, man. Talking about him being on the Steelers. I want to get your thoughts, Josh, but I just want to preface this by saying that Deshaun Elliott believes he's on a mentally tough team in a secondary where his fellow safety is Minkah Fitzpatrick, who left Miami because he couldn't deal with the team's struggles. Sounds pretty tough to me, man, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I feel like time is a flat circle when you're a Dolphins fan. Everything somehow is intertwined, right? So it's no surprise that Deshaun Elliott's now next to Minkah Fitzpatrick, but these comments were surprising for a lot of us fans. I mean, you see on Twitter, everyone, for most of the first half of the season, you know, oh, why didn't Dolphins bring out Deshaun Elliott? Why didn't they at least try to bring him back? I mean, this probably has something to do with it, right? He straight up said that he was playing with the guys that were soft AF. And I mean, as a fan, you want to go to bat for your team and, you know, no, they weren't soft, but let's be honest, man, we're watching that team. You can be honest. They are pretty soft. So crazy that this came out. I just want to know how soon before these teams stop letting these players go on fan podcasts, because things like this come out. And I mean, this is all anybody's talking about. Like, it's crazy to me. Not surprised by these comments. What were your thoughts when they first came out, Jake?
It was how he said it. He was asked about what it's like as a former member of the Baltimore Ravens to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the first thing that he thinks about, those Miami Dolphins, man, they were soft. And I know you're an athlete and your job is to play football. I don't think you drop in an F-bomb just like this is something he's been had on his chest for so long. Josh, the way I view this, I think we all can agree that the Miami Dolphins have shown mentally soft traits. In recent years, we have some late season collapses, that Titans game in particular, where you just saw everything crumble. Josh, this to me, it's not something we didn't know. It's more about the fact that it's not your place to say it. You got to keep your MFN team out your MFN mouth. Just like everybody knew that Jada was homie hopping, it doesn't necessarily mean it's something you can go out and say to a bunch of people. Deshaun Elliott should have been focused on his own team because I don't think we learned anything here. But what we did get is if Miami goes on a little bit of run here, man, this quote isn't going to go away for some time.
And that's what I'm kind of getting a little bit excited about. I mean, we were sitting here feeling like we were dead and, you know, out of everything. And, you know, the Dolphins are slowly clawing their way back. And now you have something like this come out. And let's be honest, man, if you're a fan of if you're one of those players in that locker room, this has to hit home. And you even have some quotes here from what they said. So, yeah, I think that maybe hopefully this is that turning point. And we start to see a tough Dolphins team that let's be honest, against that Rams, they look like a different monster out there. So maybe that soft AF team is behind us, but why don't you throw out some of those quotes, Jake, that some of these players and coaches were saying?
Mike McDaniel, he was the first to be asked about it. He said, "I am supremely only concerned with the 2024 Dolphins for sure." You might think I just messed up that quote, but that is just Mike McDaniel word salad. That's kind of what we come to expect. "Our team played a tough fought game the past 3 weeks and ended up finding a way to win this past week. That's not the easiest thing to do," McDaniel said. "I just worry about this team." He said it on a podcast talking about Deshaun. Cool podcast. Just the way McDaniel ends it with just the two word sentence of "cool podcast" was so funny to me, because you have McDaniel who's sitting there in front of multiple media outlets, multiple professional journalists, talking about his team, talking about his process as a head coach, and just dropping a, "Oh, cool, you have a podcast," was one of the most demoralizing ways to present it for all of us who have podcasts. It's like when you go out in public and you tell someone like, "Hey, yeah, I got a podcast," and they're like, "Oh, you too." So I just thought it was funny that McDaniel kind of belittled it a little bit by just being like, "Sick, man, you were on a podcast." And then you had Nick Needham. He tweeted exactly whom was soft. And then Javon Holland, who I think summed it up perfectly. "Honestly, man, if you want to call somebody out, go ahead and do that and drop names. If you're not naming names, then the rest is empty." Josh, I agree with all three of those statements there. If you're not going to come to play and show me X, Y, and Z, which I think we both agree that you can for this Dolphins team, then don't talk. There's no positive of going out there and talking like this.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I guess in a way, you're right. It's a little bit cowardly, right? If you had a problem with a player, at least say the player's name, you're sitting there throwing the entire team under the bus. So I like the way the Dolphins handled this. I mean, I really, again, hope that they stand up. Like, this ignites something inside them, and you see them playing with their hair on fire a little bit.
Kader Kohou got me jacked up. So, like, the interesting thing about all this, and when you look at someone like Kader Kohou, a former undrafted free agent, and Josh, every player in the NFL wants to get paid more. Most of them have to wait for a contract extension. Kader Kohou, because he's balled so hard as a former undrafted free agent, since he's been that hungry dog running faster, the NFL has actually paid him bonuses at the end of each season. They go back and list all the, you know, guys who are on minor or small contracts, and if they play X amount of snaps, they get bonuses. So Kader Kohou was given bonuses by the NFL from working his ass off, from being an undrafted free agent and stepping up and stepping in a secondary for the Miami Dolphins. And Kader Kohou said, "He's not here for a reason. I got no respect for it. I don't think Deshaun was the toughest guy." To hear that from a former undrafted free agent step into his own, man, I know we've kind of been like, yeah, you know, Kader Kohou, maybe someone else would be different in the slot. In the words of Cam Smith, he just dropped it all on the table. As an undrafted free agent who's just worked his tail off, man, I think Kader said it perfectly.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, again, we're not in the locker room and things like that, but Kader Kohou always seems like one of the more reserved guys, like a quiet guy, almost like if you're bringing this out of him, he obviously was a little bit annoyed by that. And while we're talking about it, I mean, Kader Kohou has absolutely stepped up this season in that, you know, fulfill that spot more so like we saw in the rookie year opposed that slump, sophomore slump last season. So I love this from Kader Kohou. Again, he's one of those key players in that secondary, for being completely honest. So to hear him say, you know, Deshaun Elliott wasn't the toughest guy. Again, I just hope that somehow, some way down the road, this thing kind of comes to a head and we can see, you know, some of that gritty, scrappy football between these two teams when hopefully it matters.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The last quote I have here, Calais Campbell. Deshaun is a guy I like, a good teammate when I was teammates with him. His opinion means nothing to me. Josh, these quotes don't matter. It's all talk. It's all midweek drama. Like, these are the things you'd see on like the WWE commercial ahead of like Tuesday night, right? Like, these are all just like the clickbait, the quotes. But man, I really see this, especially just the timing. The Dolphins won their first game in 3 weeks. They were on a three-game losing streak. Tua's back. Everyone's feeling good. You got a primetime win against the team. Yes, the Rams are 4-5. They won three straight. They were trending in the right direction. This was a team fighting for the NFC East title. NFC West, excuse me. I think this could be a real just like jumping off point, but I think this is really a quote that could kind of gain some traction as we go week by week and the Miami Dolphins start to stack some wins. I mean, the thing is though, Josh, this isn't the first time they've been called soft. I mean, this isn't a surprise that they've been called soft. I think we can agree the way the season's ended, they've been a soft football team. Do you see this as something that could motivate them when this is something I think they already knew this is a trait they need to shake a little bit?
I hope so. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have the quote in front of us, but I think Jordan Poyer was one of those guys that was pretty adamant, you know, we knew that they were soft and they would kind of fall apart towards the end of the year. They weren't mentally tough. So I hope that this is that, you know, eye-opening thing. I mean, I don't know if it was the same interview, but I think someone doubled down and kind of said no one would ever win anything because of the culture and all the nightlife and things like that of South Florida. But that to me is just an absolute cop-out, right? We've seen Miami teams, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Heat, teams have had success in South Florida. That's a cop-out to me. We can sit here and say that these players are playing soft, but yes, hopefully this is that turning point. And honestly, I think we kind of saw that turning point start to shift Monday night when it just seemed like that defense was a completely different animal. And I mean, we'll eventually talk about it, but how much of that it was letting David Long go and bringing in Anthony Walker.
Not to be too much of a boomer here, man, but like, do the Miami Dolphins need like just a hard ass? Like, do they need like a Brian Flores type of head coach? Like, you mentioned the Miami Heat and the success they had down here. I mean, you had Pat Riley just walking around with a ruler ready to metaphorically whack anyone. I just wonder if there is something to it. I think we even had, was it Mark Schlereth when we had him on, when we had Stink on, and he kind of spoke about that too, the Miami nightlife. It makes things so tough, not only for visitors, but then you have players who are there year round where, hey, maybe they look great, but if they have a couple more off games than usual, maybe you could point to the nightlife or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's that happy medium. That's what we're kind of hoping we're starting to see from Mike McDaniel, right? One of the biggest things was, could he make these tough decisions? We saw it, again, I kind of alluded to a little bit with David Long being eventually...
What a transition.
Yeah, so I mean, we're starting to see it with Raheem Mostert as well, right? We talked about him being in the doghouse. So you're starting to see Mike McDaniel, again, Cam Smith, lack of a better word, nutting up and making some of those tough decisions. But I do think they need that hard guy. You know, that Brian Flores, like, you go out there, I'm going to just cut your butt. And, you know, it seems like Mike McDaniel's a little bit more lenient, more of that, you know, we're friends, buddy-buddy type of thing.
Cut your butt sounds so much fun to say.
I was trying not to swear.
I respect it. And dude, you nailed the transition. Arguably what the biggest roster move surprise of the season, the Miami Dolphins released David Long Jr., who led the team in tackles last year, who entered the season as a team captain. And Josh, you know, I remember tweeting during that Arizona Cardinals game, a performance where he had 4 missed tackles, his third game with at least 3 missed tackles this season. And he allowed 8 receptions on 8 targets for 93 yards. I just remember thinking, God, David Long stinks. And I tweeted it a couple times, like, what's going on with David Long? Why does this look so bad? And I thought, like, am I just too focused on this one player where I'm seeing all these issues? But apparently that's not the case, man. This actually blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, and again, when you came into the season, he was that, you know, the hangover from the year prior, right? You said he led the team. You know, we thought there was going to be progression, and it just seems like everything but that. I mean, again, I think that it's a testament to the Miami Dolphins and kind of the changing of times. I think Weaver on Long's release, Anthony Weaver came out and spoke about today, and he said, I think it was just a team decision. Obviously, we have a tremendous amount of love and respect. He is a starting caliber NFL backer, and at this particular time, we chose to go with Anthony Walker. So it's probably the best move for just all parties involved. It gives him a chance to continue his NFL career and go flourish elsewhere, but incredibly grateful for his time here for sure. So again, the Dolphins felt pretty high about David Long coming into the year, but you mentioned that Arizona game, man. I don't think he was ever coming back from that. And to spiral on that, Anthony Walker, I mean, he's really stepped up compared to that first impact that he made in those first games. And we're starting to see the defense play much better with him out there than getting cooked by Trey McBride over and over and over again.
Yeah, I wonder if this is something. Anthony Walker was actually hurt a lot of the preseason and training camp, so I wonder if this is someone who could have made a little bit more noise when he was
high
around.
On him. You were high on him. Let's make sure we throw that out there. You thought he was going to be I'm still surprised Channing Tindall's sticking around. Like, what? Well, how is he still in this roster? Every time someone else gets cut and he's still there, I'm like, let's go.
Anthony Walker, a former Cleveland Browns team captain. Those are the kind of traits I was really looking for. And he stepped in. He had his first interception in 4 years. And yeah, man, Channing Tindall finding his way to kind of operate through and still be a piece. I think it's interesting because I wonder if you could use Channing Tindall a little bit more in maybe a few blitz packages. Because even going back to that Colts game, man, David Long was flying off of Anthony Richardson at just like a rate that it was like cartoonish. Yes, Anthony Richardson's one of the bigger quarterbacks in the entire NFL, maybe even the biggest, I don't know. But it just felt weird that our, you know, he wasn't a Landon Roberts. He was never a Landon Roberts, but our dude who tackles a dude through another dude who kind of, David Long kind of had those traits, the drop-off, man. I know the NFL is such a hard league to play in, and he's dealt with soft tissue injuries throughout his career, but my God, man, just to drop off a cliff like that, it was very, very surprising.
Yeah, and I'm waiting to see where he ends up. You know, couldn't you see Vic Fangio? I don't remember if Vic Fangio liked him or not. I don't remember. But Mike Vrabel, remember his comments about him being soft and some of those soft tissue injuries and things like that? I mean, it's just funny how we were going to bat for him a couple of years ago, and now we're sitting here and he's going elsewhere. What?
Not only him, I was trying to find them. I think Vic Fangio even had quotes about being like a fake tough guy and how you can't win as a linebacker just being a fake tough guy. And I don't want to pile along the dude because he was a team captain and you know, he did spend more than a year at the team leading the team in tackles. But those things are just so interesting about how important, and I hate to use this word as someone who works in 9-to-5, but synergy, your way to relate to people, your way to adjust and fit inside a team, inside of a unit, inside of a defense are just so, so important, and they are such impactful moves. Josh, one of Mike McDaniel's favorite sayings is, you know, Chris Greer is always looking for ways to make this team better, yada, yada, yada. And one of the reasons they were able to release David Long Jr. is because they claimed former Seattle Seahawks starting linebacker, their green dot, Tyrell Dodson, off waivers, Josh. Little bit of a surprising move here, but when you consider you're adding someone who had 71 tackles this year leading the team, you can kind of play inside the margins here and see if, like, hey, all right, Dodson, maybe he could be a little upgrade of David Long Jr. now, who's kind of back in that backup role.
Yeah, and I was absolutely surprised. This guy has 71 total tackles, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 pass breakups this season. I mean, to see that type of production, I mean, obviously there's a reason the Seattle Seahawks let him go, but correct me if I'm wrong, they picked up, were they not the ones that signed Brandon Peely? And then we kind of got Tyrell Dodson as well. So, yes, this was the reason the Dolphins get rid of David Long. And I mean, when you saw David Long in the doghouse, you know, obviously not fitting in this defense, throwing a dart at a guy that, like Dodson, I think I had written down he's 26. Maybe that's Jack Stahl. I have them mixed up, but he's young, played 4 seasons with the Buffalo Bills. And again, 71 tackles already this season. So I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued. Another linebacker that seems hungry and, again, has a spot where he could be some added depth to this linebacking unit.
Yeah, 26 years old, Josh, you nailed it. Played his college ball at Texas A&M. And, man, could you imagine being a Seahawks fan right here? So they cut Jerome Baker earlier in the year. They cut both of their starting linebackers entering this season. I mean, could you imagine what people would be screaming at Chris Greer if that was the case here in Miami? But, man, like, I'm not going to call this a home run pick. He's kind of a thumper. He kind of felt like what David Long was supposed to be, but the same thing, he just wasn't really fit in the system. So it'll be interesting to see. I wouldn't say he's going to come in and start or come in and take things over, but he told reporters when he met with them, he's playing pissed off. He's ready to go. And when I kind of had some gripes with how Chris Greer didn't make a move at the trade deadline, trading a 7th-round pick for someone, just something like that, went inside the margins. This felt like one of the It came 2 weeks later, but this kind of felt like one of those moves, right? Where you're just looking like, hey, can we improve this unit in this area? And you know what? I'm for it, man. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and hearing that quote, I mean, I'm ready to run through a wall. I mean, that's more life than we've heard out of David Long, right? David Long is probably just like, well, whatever, Mike Vrabel's wrong and this and that. So, yeah, let's see if Dodson come in here and make a name for himself. But, again, I think Jordan Brooks has been playing out of his – I don't say again like we talked about it, but Jordan Brooks, I mean, he's been playing out of his mind. And Anthony Walker, too, so that's a nice tandem to have. And, you know, hopefully we see Dodson before the end of the year. But Chris Greer, man, he just always has a way of leaving no stone unturned. And this is going to work out in his favor somehow, and he's going to get, like, an extension out of it. And we're just going to be like, damn you, Chris Greer.
Unless it's a backup quarterback, right? Right. We have to start like making a list of things that Chris Greer, like, we got to focus in on. And it's like after you get your second report card and the teacher puts like 3 things like, hey, make sure they're really focused on their social studies homework because they're ignoring it. They don't know how many continents there are. Like, I don't know. That's geography. I'm spinning out of control. But just
finding centers, finding centers. He's been damn good at, though. Right?
And that's so funny, too, man, because everyone was freaking out during the preseason that nobody could snap a football. Like, it kills me. Like, just the ebbs and flows of the season and the takes that we see. A couple other injury updates, Josh. The Dolphins placed Tanner Connor on injured reserve. With Tanner Connor on injured reserve, they signed former Wisconsin tight end who I think actually he was an undrafted rookie, but spent the preseason with Miami, Hayden Rucci. And they also claimed Philadelphia Eagles tight end Jack Stoll off waivers. So, Josh, you want to talk about first?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me, Hayden Rucci, can we talk about him? I mean, with what we saw without Ingold out there, I mean, it makes sense to bring him in, and I kind of feel like that's probably why they also signed Jack Stoll as well. So we'll obviously with an opening at tight end. So yeah, I mean, intrigued by both these guys. Hopefully Ingold's back out there, but I'm not going to cry at Tanner Connors on IR. Wish we would have saw more out of him this season, but nothing crazy. What were your thoughts?
I'm interested to see how things go about here. Stoll, I think, will fill in kind of as that fullback blocker type. He's played about 200 snaps. I wrote this for the Finsider. He's played about 200 snaps a season. 150 of them or so was a blocker. So I wonder if he'll fit that role as kind of like that fullback tight end hybrid. I saw a couple people actually compare him to Durham Smythe more than Julian Hill as just kind of like, let's get 6 yards or let's get you moving as a blocker. So that'll be interesting. Rucci will just have to wait and see, man, because I'm still under the impression where one of the biggest jumps, obviously, I think quarterback's number one, but one of the biggest jumps to make in football is going from a college tight end to an NFL tight end, because you got to learn blocking playbooks. You got to learn receiving playbooks. You have to learn so many different positions as an NFL tight end, where in college, you know, you're looking over at the sideline, you see your sign, and you kind of know what to do from there. I think that might be Miami's next long-term project. So Rucci, we might, you know, maybe next preseason we'll start to hear some rumblings, but in terms of guys who are going to impact this team this year, I kind of like what Jack Stoll brings to the table. Robert Jones was a name we mentioned on the recap from Monday Night Football as somebody who left the game. He's considered day-to-day with a knee injury. I think he actually returned to practice on Thursday. And on top of that, Josh, Isaiah Wynn had his practice window open. What do you think about this unit in general, the guards? I think Lester Cotton was actually one of Miami's highest graded players, according to PFF, from Monday Night Football. So all of a sudden, man, in Butch Berry, we trust, and we got a couple of linemen who know how to play football. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'll see Isaiah Wynn out there this week, but I mean, I'm all for him getting put back into the starting lineup at guard. And I'm a little bit, I don't want to say excited, but surprised, right, that he actually came back. This was a guy that we were sitting there preseason. We thought he was going to be involved, and, you know, he started the year out with an injury. So I'm excited to see what Isaiah Wynn can do, because he did look very good before he got hurt a season ago.
There'll be some moving pieces here. I made a lot of Twitter and a little bit of Blue Sky upset when I suggested the idea of, like, Austin Jackson, he was not only put on injured reserve, but he's going to miss the rest of the season. I was wondering if maybe we could move Isaiah Wynn to right tackle, where he spent some time with the New England Patriots, but the comments I kind of got, his arms are too short, he won't really fit there. And don't get me wrong, he did struggle at right tackle, but you just wonder, with Butch Berry being a madman, if you're just wondering, hey, what are these different options we can do? Because you have Kendall Lamb at right tackle, and I think that's a great choice, but he already said he's going to be retiring in about 7, if we're a little lucky, 8, 9, 10 games or so. So you do wonder if, you know, by mid-December, he's on that older side, if teams can start to take advantage of someone like that and need to make a change. That's kind of where I was going. But overall, man, this is a good problem to have. It's not like a quarterback where if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Yeah, shame on you for suggesting the right tackle with New England once play should maybe line up at right tackle for the Dolphins. I mean, hopefully we don't have to see him there, right? He did look significantly better at guard, but with all the injuries that we've sustained season prior, I mean, who's to say we won't, you know, ultimately see him starting at right guard? So I hope that right tackle. I hope that's not the case, but excited to get Isaiah Wynn back in the lineup.
The last note we have here is Kendall Fuller is officially out for this game. He suffered his second concussion since joining the Miami Dolphins. With Fuller out, Josh, the Miami Dolphins have some different options here. The key is Fuller was a boundary cornerback. I don't think we want Kader Kohu on the boundary. Who would you like to see lining up out there across from someone like Jalen Ramsey? Is it going to be Cam Smith? Maybe Storm Duck? Matt Bonner? Did I just say Matt Bonner? Ethan Bonner? Ethan Bonner,
yeah.
Right?
Ethan Bonner, yeah. Matt Bonner, was he a punter? I can't remember.
I think he was a three-point shooter for the Spurs.
Oh, man.
20 years ago.
So Matt Bonner was not a punter. Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning Cam Smith. I mean, I think Anthony Weaver kind of hinted at him having the inside track. He seems to be better fit for the outside than Kader Kohu. So I'll go with Cam Smith. But, yeah, ultimately I want Kader Kohu in this slot. But if, you know, Storm Duck can rise to that occasion, why not? Ethan Bonner, though, or as we call him, Matt Bonner, I am still waiting for him to do something, right? He's supposed to be that, you know, that the white Mamba, and we've yet to see him do anything.
I think that he's one of the guys who's great for the preseason hype, and I think he's someone you can trust at the bottom of your roster. But in terms of being out there play-by-play, there were some gripes that people thought Cam Smith was getting picked on a little bit, but overall he did allow some receptions, but I think he did a good job of not turning mistakes into game-changing errors. Like when we look at Cam Smith's biggest issues, man, it was the preseason last year against the Jaguars, right? He fell for that fake on the inside, and then the wide receiver ran right by him for a wide open 60-yard touchdown. So as long as Cam Smith is containing a play, and man, with the way the secondary is playing, crazy to say, but with Javon Holland back, Jordan Poyer looks a little more comfortable with Javon back there. I kind of think that Cam Smith can survive as that fourth or fifth piece of the secondary.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we want from him, right? And then again, that's going to be Chris Greer's saving grace. I mean, you have written down here, where's Nick? And I mean, I honestly, it wasn't until he stuck up in this Deshaun Elliott thing. It wasn't until he responded to that. It was like, oh, shit, he's still on our team. So, yeah, where is Nick Needham? Is he going to come out here and, you know, maybe he steps up in that absence? I mean, he seems like a player that, again, that preseason hype, right? One of those guys that we all get behind. But when the lights come on during the season, they're more of a depth piece. So, yeah, where's Nick Needham?
They have options, and that's kind of what's nice about the Miami Dolphins here. Despite being a soft football team, man, they do have some winnable games on the agenda. And starting with the Las Vegas Raiders, we will be back later today. We're dropping this Friday morning. We will be back later today, Friday afternoon. We'll have Kat with us to preview the game. If you can get to it on Friday, we'll also be posting on the 560 WQAM YouTube channel on Saturday, so be sure to check it out. And if you have the time, like, rate, review, all that fun stuff that helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will be back joining you sooner rather than later, but until then, fins up.
Fins up.
Fins up.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.